Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and what a memorable edition of WWE Raw. What a memorable 24 hours with the Royal Rumble not exactly going the way people planned. We did get a hell of a triple threat match on that show. And then the snowstorm that wiped out both Raw and SmackDown for Monday and Tuesday, and WWE not having access to the XL Center, I believe is the name of the venue in Hartford. And so they went with a very unique approach to tonight's Raw. They gave away both the Royal Rumble match and that Triple Threat match on Raw. I was very surprised to see that. But it was more than that. The part that, I watched the pay-per-view like most people did, and so I had seen those two big matches already, of course, but I was very entertained by the sit-down interviews that they did, and I'm pretty damn sure I saw Paul Heyman's fingerprints all over at least that last one with Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Paul Heyman himself. That was really good television there. Whether or not you think Reigns belongs in the main event or not, I think you just have to judge it for what it is. And I think they really, whether it was Heyman or someone else, they kind of kicked that thing in a little bit. They got people just thinking about the challenge ahead of Reigns and really built up Brock Lesnar in a big way. Heyman working his magic on the mic as well, and just created that sports-like vibe for that moment, something you would see in like a UFC build-up or a boxing build-up. So, you know, it wouldn't, maybe not exactly in that format, but it wouldn't feel completely out of place. And I love the history that Paul Heyman brought into it as well. So much to talk about tonight, though. People are already lined up, but if you want to try to get in, the number is 773-897-6321. I am Jason Powell, and I'll be taking your phone calls as I do most Monday nights during WrestleMania season. I say most because, as I mentioned in the chat room, which is open for those of you who want to engage in a little chatting tonight, next Monday we will not have ProWrestling.net Live. I warned you guys at the beginning of this season that we would be live every Monday unless there was something big that required me to cover it, and I would say Triple H being interviewed by Steve Austin on WWE Network after Raw next week fits that description. So 1 week off, and then we'll be right back with the end of the next week, assuming there's not like a Stephanie McMahon interview the following week. But it's rare that I think these things will happen based on the way WWE pumps these things out. So keep that in mind. But no show next week, no ProWrestling.net Live, but back in the groove the week after that. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's get into your phone calls because there are a lot of you already lined up, as I said. We're going to start tonight with 630. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? This is Craig from Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, Craig?
Pretty good. You know, we talked about this the other day, about the crowd cramping all over Reigns. And even if The Rock were to win, they would still boo him. And he showed up. He couldn't even save Reigns. He couldn't save Reigns last night. It boggles my mind because everybody knew this was going to happen. Even the casual fans knew this was going to happen. How did Vince, Triple H, any of them not know this was going to happen? I mean, it just drives me nuts. You know, it's like banging your head against the wall sometimes saying, why am I paying for this garbage? You know,
I chalk it up to two things. Yeah, man. I mean, I chalk it up to two things. It's Vince McMahon either being just stubborn or just he doesn't have his finger on the pulse. I mean, maybe it's some combination of the two, but I mean, that's really what it comes down to, this whole situation with Daniel Bryan. I don't think what you saw with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar tonight was part of Vince McMahon's master plan to get this back on track. If anything, if Paul Heyman did produce that, it may have been desperation. I mean, they have a good working relationship these days, but it seems like it's pretty much restricted to talent, and Heyman helped some people out and things like that. But I mean, this maybe I'm off on this, but it sure looked to me like it had Paul Heyman's fingerprints all over that final segment, and so maybe this could be turned into a positive if it means that Paul Heyman gets involved creatively more often.
Well, he's doomed. Reigns is doomed with this, and that match at WrestleMania is going to be doomed. They're going to crap all over it at WrestleMania. I mean, it's just last year all over again. Daniel Bryan is the guy the crowd wants. I'm not sure Vince or the WWE really know who their audience is. I think they believe they do, but I don't think they do. I think they're just completely clueless on who their audience is. To me, I see Daniel Bryan, and I see him as one of the most over wrestlers since maybe Steve Austin. And they keep feeding us Tom McGee again, you know. And we all know what happened with Tom McGee back then. You know, he was nothing. Bret Hart made him look great in the match, and it turned out he was nothing, you know.
Well, Reigns has had more success than Tom McGee ever did. We can't go that far with it because he's done some good things with the Shield, without question.
Right.
I think we're going to get a lot of this from people tonight, just frustration over the Rumble. I mean, it was bad enough last year to do it. Embarrassing, in my opinion, for WWE to be in this position again. And did you watch Raw tonight? I mean, I know you watched the Rumble, obviously. Did you see the Rumble match and the triple threat replay and say, forget this, I already saw it, or did you stick with the show?
No, I watched them because I want to see how much editing they did. And I feel during the Rumble match, they toned the crowd boos down a little bit. I remember vividly last night because I was just shocked. I felt last night I was watching a moment in pro wrestling history because I've never, ever seen a crowd turn on somebody that much. Not even Cena's gotten that kind of reaction, I don't think. Maybe at WrestleMania 22 when he was against Triple H, but it was just shocking how blatant they were against Roman Reigns. And I feel bad for the guy. I mean, I like Roman Reigns. I think he's going to be a good wrestler, but they damaged him. They damaged him bad and basically made Bryan even more over than ever before. You know, when they get back to a live setting, I think we're going to start seeing this more and more. But I felt they edited the crowd out a little bit. I remember when Big Show and Kane were tossed out by Reigns, there was no cheering for that. There was some straight-up boos, and they had some cheers in tonight's episode. So, I don't know, take that for what you want, I guess.
All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call, and I think we're going to get a little more discussion than just rehashing the Rumble tonight from people because they did give us a lot to work with. But I'm going to let you guys steer the ship here. It's that time already. He's back in the familiar number two spot. He is on top secret double probation. He is .NET member Rabbit. Rabbit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the invite.
How are you tonight?
Wonderful. I wanted to tell you, I sat through Raw the whole show, and I watched it. Even though I watched the Rumble last night, and I enjoyed the Rumble. I mean, it was okay. But this tonight, the interviews they did, some of it looked like it was pre-tapes. That none of that was live interviews. It looked like they were all pre-tapes.
Sure.
Because you posted on the .NET forum that after the show ended and they found out it was canceled, that Brock flew back home. So if he wasn't there, he wouldn't be in Connecticut.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just assumed a lot of them, if not all of them, were pre-taped. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the only live portions, if there were any, were the broadcast team sitting there. But, you know, I don't know that to be 100% factual, but that would be my best guess, and I'm fine with that. I mean, these are important segments they're airing. You know, they're trying to get people focused, you know, in a positive way, on the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match at WrestleMania. We've seen what happens when they stick Roman Reigns out there with the live microphone. And so why not do a bunch of pre-tapes, assuming that's what they did, and you know, make sure this guy comes off as well as humanly possible.
And I agree with you. That whole segment at the end 100% smelled of Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it did. And you know what? I mean, this is something that we've talked about on this show and certainly in .NET members audio as well, is that turn this guy over to Heyman. You know, he doesn't have to be managed by him. That's a direction they can choose to go in, but let Paul Heyman produce this guy. Paul Heyman understands, you know, cool dialogue. We've seen it from Paul over the years. He gets it better than whoever's been writing Roman Reigns for all this time with Suffer and Succotash and Jack and the Beanstalk. You're not going to get that from Paul Heyman. So let Paul Heyman, turn Paul Heyman loose with this guy. And it looked to me like that was the first step tonight.
Yeah, because, I mean, I actually enjoyed the interviews I did. Even the stuff with the Terry Funk Wild Man guy. Oh, God, I keep forgetting his name. Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that
I thought
one,
that,
you know,
bit with him where he came into the headquarters and talked about hitchhiking. I'm sorry that to me, he reminds me of a crazy Terry Funk.
Well, it's cool you liked it. That one, I mean, if I had to pick one of the segments tonight that just didn't hit home with me, it would be that one. It just, I don't know. Maybe I was so thrown off because he was shivering because it was 63 degrees.
I know that they say that he's supposed to be doing the other character from WWF, the throw-off character. What's his name?
I'm not even sure. I get sidetracked there, Rabbit. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking with Dean Ambrose.
Okay, what about him?
Who's the character, the out-of-control character that he's supposed to be
There's a little bit of Brian Pillman in there for sure.
Yeah, that's it, Brian Pillman. Well, to me, he was more Terry Funk. When the first time I saw him in the ring, I thought that was with WWE. I said, he's doing Terry Funk. And
I'm guessing there's probably a little bit of that influence as well. You know what I didn't like about that segment, Rabbit, so much? It felt a little, that the whole explanation to me, I hitchhiked, I did all this, it just was like, no, you didn't. You know, I'm sitting there going, eh, whatever. You know, I just wasn't buying it. But it sounds like it worked for you. That's cool.
I mean, you know, it was, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm a Terry Funk fan. I've been a Funk fan for years. And I love Terry Funk. So anytime I see someone doing an impersonation, I always try to watch it. Doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean that it went along with the show. I'm just saying I like Terry Funk. But I was just wondering what your impressions were, because to me, you know, there's only so much JBL can do. Even going outside like he did for a few seconds. You know, I mean, at least they tried. At least they did a show. They gave you something for your money tonight.
Yeah, all things,
you know,
considered, I think the decision to air the Rumble match and the title match, both, I mean, the only two things people really cared about on that pay-per-view, questionable. I will say, as far as just putting that aside and looking at the sheer entertainment value of tonight's Raw, I think they did a pretty nice job. You know, all things considered, there were some things I would change. Some of the wording used in some of the sit down interviews, sure. JBL's weird weather segment, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's things I can pick apart, but I mean, they scrambled to put this together, and I thought they ended up delivering a pretty compelling 3-hour television show on short notice.
That's it. They had 3 hours to fill, and Everything they had planned for Raw was thrown out the window. So now they had to scramble, and at least they gave you 3 hours of entertainment. You might
I'm with
not
you.
Like
anything else tonight, man?
Huh?
I said I'm with you. Anything else tonight?
Yeah. One other thing, I just wanted to remind all the people out there that you can subscribe to ProWrestling.net, and Jason has specials, and he'll explain it to you and what you can get for your money, but it's worth subscribing. We have a great forum for all the people that are in the forums, and we don't have any arguing or trouble in the forums. So, but it's all yours, Jason. You tell them about subscribing.
All right. Thank you very much, Rabbit. .NET membership. The membership rate, $5.50 if you take our annual option. If you want to try us out for 1 month, $7.50. What he's saying about the members forum is true, by and large. I mean, every once in a while there'll be some trouble that starts in there, but it's usually taken care of quickly. It's a really good group of people you can correspond with about wrestling, take part in our V-Bookie betting on the major pay-per-view matches. We just had all the Rumble matches and all that. It's always kind of fun to set those odds and then see if I can coax some people who think they know what's going to happen into jumping on the bigger odds. I get a kick out of that. But a lot going on in the forum. It is an ad-free version of the website. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can get all the perks of membership right there on your phone. Once you sign up for membership, just enter your same username and password combination. All the information available on the main page at prowrestling.net. If you have any questions about membership, hit me up on Twitter at prowrestlingnet. Thanks again to .NET member Rabbit for the kind words about the site and the forum. Let's keep rolling through. Well, actually, you know, I want to touch on something that was said there, or actually just the theme of Raw in general. Before we keep, we'll definitely get back to calls, but before, I don't want to forget this tonight. I would like to see more of this on a regular basis from WWE. I'm not talking like giving pay-per-view matches away, but I'd like to see more of the sit-down style approach from WWE. I think some of these guys felt like they were just better defined characters coming out of this show than they've been in some time. It just gives them kind of a chance to speak in their own words, not stand in the ring and speak to an entire arena and yell at the top of their lungs or do, you know, just their usual approach to things. And I would gladly give up some of the ha-ha, Vince McMahon, wacky silliness in favor of a more serious sit-down interview approach. Doesn't always have to be about the pay-per-view even. You have a match to promote for later on in the show. Why not hear from both wrestlers? Make that main event feel special. I've been big on branding the Raw main event for a long time. That's a way to do it. So I really would like to see WWE take something from this experience and just do more of this style. I think there's definitely things they can do. They can incorporate coming out of tonight's show that will be beneficial to them long-term. Up next on the line 423, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, it's Ian from Tennessee.
Hey, Ian, what's up?
Hey, well, I was just going to talk to you a little bit about Raw. I think the Reigns thing is really, there's nothing a whole lot that can be said that hasn't been said yet, but what do you make of them announcing Cena versus Rusev for Fastlane?
I don't know if they've decided that they want to tell a multi-part story here, and we're going to see that match take place at WrestleMania as well. That would still be my guess, but I don't know. They may be looking at Fastlane going, uh-oh. You know, right now we have the two advertised, one of them is not even a match. It's Rusev against Cena. No mention that I've seen of the U.S. Championship in there. And then it's Triple H calling out Sting. He's a babyface. Of course he's going to accept. But I think they're trying to sell that show as much as they can. And I don't know at this point. I'm going to ask around, was that the original plan, was to go with Sting and Rusev at Fastlane? Or did they kind of have to call an audible there and move to that program maybe sooner than they intended just to get something on Fastlane, try to make this worth buying for some people?
Yeah, I don't know who else Cena could face at WrestleMania, if not Rusev. But I just got a sinking feeling that the plans that they had, I guess, at the Rumble for WrestleMania are not going to change from the tone that they were taking tonight. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
You know, I mean, as far as the main event is concerned, I guess the only glimmer of hope, if you're still someone going, man, I hope they get Daniel Bryan in there somehow, is he took a little jab at Roman Reigns for not having the help that, not having Rock's help, and WWE didn't feed him when he was a kid. And he did talk a lot about you know, getting, finishing off Kane and getting back on course for, you know, getting another WWE World Heavyweight Championship win. So, I mean, I don't want to overanalyze that and think that it's going to happen, but just the fact that he's still talking about it, I don't know if that's them leaving the door open or kind of trying to establish to his fans, okay, maybe not at WrestleMania, but that's still in his sights. But if I had to guess, just based on what we saw in that final segment, I think they're still going with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I do too. But I guess, I don't know, it just kind of seems like, you know, the way that TNA is positioned as Dixie Carter's vanity project, it almost seems like Vince McMahon's vanity project sometimes. But that's it. That's all I had for you.
All right, thanks, Ian. Good to hear from you. .MM member Ian checking in tonight. If you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number. Up next in line is 305. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
What's up, DJ?
I got two things. The first thing is, what do you think what's going on with the Wyatt? You know, do we think that he's definitely going to go for Undertaker? I mean, he did really great in the Rumble, and he really shined. So I hope they're going to dust him off, and at the WrestleMania, I mean, where do you think he'll go after Undertaker? If he does, I mean, do you think he'll win? I mean, or do you think that the Undertaker will get that win back or go to the Hall of Fame? Where do you think Wyatt will be?
Okay, if the match happens, I do think Taker wins. I don't see Taker losing 2 years in a row. I don't even think Bray Wyatt would get much from it other than a lot of crowd rejection, not at directed at him, but again directed at WWE. And so I kind of see this as a I would hope they use the match to try to build up Bray in a way that, you know, he's competitive with Taker. But ultimately, I worry that it's the same thing as last year. You know, we heard all this talk last year about, well, he's in there with John Cena. He's going to get some rub, and then, you know, what happens? It's not if he, it doesn't matter if he loses. He's going to get some rub out of this. Well, he got it, and what did they have planned for him coming out of Mania? It's like, and I don't even, it's not like he couldn't have gotten something out of the match with John Cena, even with the loss. It's just that they didn't have any follow-up there. So that should be on their mind. It's not just what happens at WrestleMania. It's what do you do with this guy? You're positioning strongly. But after watching him in the Rumble, seeing how, you know, how many eliminations he had, just how long he was in there, he got a little mic time in there, it certainly appears to me they're building him up for something, and that something probably is Undertaker.
Right. All right.
Was that it tonight?
One more thing. The other thing was that, I mean, do you think the best thing is really to do is, I mean, Rain goes in. I mean, I got two scenarios. Do you think the better way is Rain goes in, wins, they turn on Brock Lesnar, you know, and Paul Heyman, like you said, the mouthpiece for Reigns, and that's what we need? Or do you think just because they're going to make the fans, I guess, happier, and Seth will cash in on Raw next day, and you think the fans will accept that, I guess, and Brian will come in and, you know, we'll do something, whatever is the next pay-per-view after, you know, Mania?
Yeah. All right, good questions, DJ. It's, you know, I don't know if they know right now. I mean, so much I think, obviously I would think they're aware of what's going on with Brock Lesnar contractually, and it's Brock, maybe it's being dragged down to the wire, who knows. If he is staying, it wouldn't surprise me if he does retain the championship here, but I'd say I wonder if they know what's going on, because they may still be just feeling this out. You know, he was completely rejected last night. After tonight, I'm sure they're hoping that he won some people over. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I can't imagine that suddenly everyone's looking at Roman Reigns differently. I mean, just from listening to the tone of the early call so far, they're not. But, you know, if Heyman can work his magic, if Vince McMahon gets on track here, maybe they can salvage this. Maybe it will, to enough people feel like a big enough deal that Reigns is winning. But if I had to guess right now, if Brock is leaving, does Reigns leave WrestleMania with the championship? I could actually see a Seth Rollins cash in at WrestleMania if they don't have Reigns in a position where that WrestleMania crowd is going to accept him. Maybe it happens at Mania. Maybe maybe Rollins cashes in there. Maybe they do wait until the next night. But I think Seth Rollins is definitely a guy to watch going forward. I think that whether it's at Mania or just sometime this year, I think Rollins gets his chance unless they can just pull off something miraculous when it comes to salvaging Roman Reigns, because I just don't think people are ready to see him as the long-term WWE World Heavyweight Champion. So Rollins, I think, is definitely a guy. He's got so many built-in feuds with so many different people right now that he's got open programs with Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and John Cena kind of feels like it's run its course, but you can certainly go back to it somewhere down the road. And I mean, Dolph Ziggler, others. I mean, he just feels like the guy who, and with him working just as well as he is, both in the ring and just clicking as a character, he's definitely a guy. I have higher hopes for him right now than I do Roman Reigns, but we'll see what happens. Up next, 631, who are you? Where are you calling from? All right, 631's got a bunch of music going. We'll try to go back to him after the next call. It looks like he was he's disconnected. So maybe he'll call back in, maybe he won't. Up next then is 787. Who's this?
Hey, how's it going, Jason? Hey, this is Christian from Puerto Rico.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe WWE is sacrificing this WrestleMania. And what I mean by that is they're planning ahead to WrestleMania 32. And the main event, I think, is going to be Lesnar and The Rock.
I don't know that they're in the business of sacrificing Mania. I think I know where you're going with this, but they have a network to sell, and they need to sell it now.
Well, let me put it this way. It's the only way I can rationalize what happened yesterday. Because the fans don't want Reigns. They want Bryan, but they won't give it to us. So I'm thinking that maybe they have, like, a bigger plan.
Okay, but last year, everyone wanted Daniel Bryan, and they still wanted Batista. So it's just for me, it's not unprecedented that Vince McMahon would be stubborn or even delusional about his choice of a WrestleMania babyface headliner.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but it's really depressing that the road to WrestleMania begins this way. This is supposed to be like the best time of the year for us, and we're just getting dragged down by this.
Well, and the other tough part about that, you say sacrifice, and yeah, okay, on paper, if you sit and go, oh, well, if Reigns loses this year, then Rock comes in and saves the day, you got to remember, Rock is a part-time guy. Who knows if he's ever going to work another match or not. Even if he does work next year's Mania, where does that leave Roman Reigns? I mean, is he just cast in The Rock's little buddy, little cousin, or whatever relation he is, shadow?
That's what he was yesterday, so I'm not sure, but I'm just thinking how the WWE thinks they can get 100,000 in the Cowboy Stadium with this.
Well, that's certainly a match that could do it. I just don't know that you sacrifice this year's Mania and Roman Reigns, because that's really what you're doing. And I know what you're saying. I mean, very valid point about them basically putting him in the Rock shadow, but I think they were desperate and trying to get this guy over, and they figured that Rock, if anyone can do it, Rock can do it, and they thought wrong.
They really did. Well, thanks, Anton, for taking my call.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for calling all the way from Puerto Rico. Nice to hear some folks from outside the continental United States. We're going to keep rolling through the calls. If you're just joining us, this is ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. The number to join us tonight is 773-897-6321. I'm going to give you guys a couple of reminders. No ProWrestling.net Live next Monday. I will be covering the Triple H interview that Steve Austin is conducting on WWE Network. So no ProWrestling.net Live next Monday. However, we will return the following Monday. So I'll try to get the date straight here in a minute. I think it's like February 9th we're back or something like that. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but not this coming Monday whenever you're listening to this, but the following Monday is when we are back, assuming Stephanie McMahon isn't interviewed the very next week by Steve Austin or something along those lines. Let's see, who is up next in line? It looks like 469. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Carlos from Dallas.
Carlos from Dallas, what's up? You must be excited with
hey,
WrestleMania 32 coming your way.
I don't even know anymore. I'm pretty sure last night they just proved that they just don't care what we like. or who we like. It's weird to me, like, I've never seen or heard of a company that works against what the audience or, you know, the consumer wants. It's so strange to me.
It's, I'm baffled by it. I don't know if it's there's some arrogance here of Vince McMahon thinking that, okay, it's just one part of the audience. I don't know if they've convinced themselves that this is just Philadelphia and an East Coast thing, and they get back to the heartland and it's going to be different. Everyone's going to rally behind Roman Reigns. And I mean, I looked ahead at their Raw schedule. If that's what they're thinking, well, there's a chance, because most of their shows are not like in the, you know, Northeast where, or Chicago or Canada, where the fans can be so vocal and let them know, or, you know, are more known for it than other places. But I don't know that this is just a regional thing. I really don't. And I'm not saying it's going to be as just overwhelming as what we saw in Philadelphia, but either way, you get to WrestleMania, it's the WrestleMania crowd, and they are a tough bunch. You get some locals in there, but by and large, the vocal group that is there is all the WrestleMania attendees from around the world that come in for the show specifically. They're diehard wrestling fans, and I don't know that they're going to be able to win those people over, but tonight I think was at least a very small step. If it's possible, I think Paul Heyman is the key to it. If anyone can pull that off, I would say Paul Heyman scripting Roman Reigns and kind of laying out this program, it's really the best chance they have.
I thought, what I saw tonight was interesting. I was kind of waiting for the Bryan interview more than anything, because I just wanted to see what he was going to say, or if he was going to be presented in a different way than what they've been doing with him. But it just seemed like it was just like a script that they told them, you know, like, go out and make Roman look really strong, basically. So that was disappointing. But the whole thing with Roman Reigns, that was interesting in a different way too, because I don't think WWE knows how to handle the internet and the whole reality behind the business, and kind of try to work those together. It's similar to what they were doing during the first season of Total Divas. I had to do like a report for an internship I was doing, so I watched like a few episodes. And Total Divas kind of lived in this weird dimension between kayfabe and reality, where they still maintained their characters, but they would call Bryan Danielson. And yeah, it's just strange that they would say stuff like Roman was handpicked by the company, when in the story wise Triple H is the one in charge, or the authority,
yeah,
or whatever.
There's definitely some conflicts there. I want to back up to, though, real quick, if you don't mind, too. You said you were very interested in the Daniel Bryan. Now you got me saying it. The Daniel Bryan segment. How did he come off to you?
Yeah.
What, coming out of that interview, what did you think about what he said tonight?
I want to have some kind of hope that the company is going to move with him after, you know, they get their main event they won and they've been working on, they've wanted for so long. But I just don't see him letting the fans have Bryan as their guy. I don't see Bryan being their Austin, even though he gets the biggest pops in every town. It's not like I don't think with Bryan it's different than with CM Punk, where you would get, you know, cheers here and there, and it's mostly from the adults and the internet smart crowd. With Bryan, it's like you get a reaction from everybody, from the little kids to the smart guys. So it's I don't know, it's weird. I don't think they're gonna go with Bryan. I think they just put him out there to make him to make Roman sound believable. But I kind of like you mentioned, I kind of like those two comments Bryan made about Roman being related to The Rock and being fed by the WWE. That was interesting, but I don't know if it'll ever go past that.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and those comments could be a setup for something even further down the road. Maybe it doesn't happen at Mania. Maybe it is coming out of Mania. Maybe Reigns is the heel. I mean, there's so many directions they can go in right now. Last night, it just, you know, after watching that all play out, it felt hopeless. And you know, as a viewer, I think, who really feels like you know the best path. I mean, there are times when Vince McMahon has been able to pull things off that it's just like, wow, you sit back and you marvel at it. And then there's times more recently where you look and you're like, what is this guy thinking? Does he not see what's right in front of him? Yeah, he should be just grateful and thankful that the next big thing, and you know, not to use the Brock Lesnar term, but Daniel Bryan is sitting right in front of him. He's got a star, but he's just stubborn with it.
I mean, now that we're in the world is more knowledgeable about fighting and stuff like that, with MMA being so popular, I don't think he wants to accept the fact that we live in the welterweight, middleweight world. Like, people know that those guys can fight. People know that those guys can go. And he's still with the mentality that it's only the big guys that can draw, and that it's only the big guys that look intimidating. But then I look at a guy, for example, like I look at a guy like Sheamus, and even though he'll probably break me in half in like 2 seconds, I'm not afraid of him. But then I look at a guy like Bryan or Austin Aries, and I'm terrified because I know those guys will probably knock me out in like 2 seconds. So, or Yoshitatsu, for that matter. So it's I don't know. I don't think they want to see that. And there's a sort of big group of people that say, well, Lesnar versus Bryan is not believable. But it's pro wrestling. I mean, last year you had a 50-year-old guy with superpowers go against Lesnar. How is that believable? You know, it's
people pull that one out at their convenience because, you know, there's that little David versus Goliath story that a lot of people believe in. And then there's the, early UFC where you'd watch Royce Gracie just, you know, beat guys that were, you know, much bigger than him. I always find that laughable. I mean, David versus Goliath would totally sell. You heard Brian talk about it tonight. And I guess the interesting part of the interview, too, I mean, it was a tough position for him to be in. He had to kind of go out there and say, hey, I lost. And that's what makes this year different. We can talk about adding Daniel Bryan in a triple threat, and I don't think it's going to happen. But the reason it makes it so difficult is last year he wasn't in the Rumble. He didn't get the opportunity.
Right.
It seemed like things were stacked against him. This year he had an opportunity, and he was just very, in a very forgettable way, eliminated. You know, so it's like he hasn't been wronged in the storyline.
Yeah. And it's not, and even though we're all fans of Bryan, I don't even think people want to see a triple threat anymore. I think people really, they were emotionally invested in seeing Lesnar versus Bryan. So, I went to see Foley a couple of weeks ago do his stand up, and he was set on that. He said it like 5 times. That's the match that people want to see. And I think I think JR agreed and said the same thing. But yeah, I don't need adding Bryan to the triple threat is not going to do anything. Even though he's my favorite, I don't want to see that. It's not going to work.
Well, thank you very much for the call tonight. No, Jim Ross definitely turned the corner on that one because I don't know that he wanted to see it, but I know he was predicting for a long time in his blog pieces that it would be Roman Reigns, as I think many people were at one time. And by the end, he said Daniel Bryan, because I think he also thought that was the money match to go with. It was Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar. Maybe we'll see it someday, maybe. Here's what I worry about, though. You know, it's that if they're looking ahead and going, well, maybe you'd like to think they realize we kind of blew it this year. Maybe it can be salvaged, but it doesn't mean we didn't blow it at the Rumble for the second straight year. Even if they're thinking like, well, maybe, you know, this can work to our advantage next year, and maybe Bryan can finally get his Rumble win. Who's to say this guy's is over? I mean, since he's come back, people are happy to see him. And the crowd last night was really into him. They wanted to see him win. But, I mean, just watching on Raw and SmackDown, they show the live crowd. And it's not like everyone is off their feet doing the yes chant anymore. It's not like it was at the peak of Daniel Bryan mania, for lack of a better term. And so, I mean, it's not like I think he's their most over guy right now. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But, you know, it's not like it's at its peak. And who's to say it gets back there? I believe it or not, I think one step to getting back to that point is to kind of shake things up for Daniel Bryan. do away with Daniel Bryan leading all these yes chants all the time. I fear that the yes chant is the thing that is going to really start to get old for people. They're going to, oh, the guy doing the yes chant still. If people, you can't stop people from starting it on their own, but it doesn't mean he has to do it on his way to the ring, do it once he's in the ring for a promo, do it on his way to the back. I think it's just time for Daniel Bryan to kind of slowly move away from that. And like I say, if the people want to go ahead and chant it, you can't stop them. But I just don't know that he needs to cheerlead it. I think it's time to kind of shake things up a little bit for Daniel Bryan, and that's one way to start. Up next is 631. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's me this time. You had another 631 guy before and hung up on. I think it is me this time because I'm hearing a lot of applause. This is Randy in Hartford, and no, I did not hitchhike to Stamford.
Right, I'm happy someone from Hartford called in tonight. I'm a Minnesota guy, so I'm always going to be biased when it comes to when claims of massive weather. I know we're not the only ones who get bad weather, and I know you guys are going to get pounded out there. I get it. I really do, and I know Buffalo's had it way worse than us, but was it that bad? Just the shots they were showing, at least in Stamford, outside WWE headquarters. I'm like, yeah, it's bad, but this isn't anything that would deter me from, like, going to Raw if I had tickets or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's definitely not worthy of shutting down all the roads and ending all the traffic. I don't think it's worthy of that, but it's not, it's not good. It's definitely the worst that we've had this year. We've had a couple. It's definitely the worst, but, it's not terrible. I think everybody overreacted, but I think it was one of your callers that called him before, it might have been Rabbit, that said that everything was pre-taped. That Dean Ambrose segment was definitely pre-taped because that snow was, like, barely an inch thick. No, I'm looking outside my back window right now, and I see, like, 2 feet.
Got no, 2 feet? Well, okay. Hey, if it's two feet,
just,
I don't
maybe
blame
I'm
them.
Exaggerating maybe a little bit, but.
Well, and but looking at the road, sometimes it can be misleading. They're showing shots of the roads, and it's like, well, maybe the plows have come through. So, yeah, I don't want to make too big of a fuss over it, but I didn't even get into it during my Raw review. I kind of avoided it. But then when someone from Hartford called, I had to know, the Minnesotan in me had to know if our weather's worse. And it sounds like it's certainly not right now. It's not that bad here at all. But I'm sure you didn't call to talk about the weather. What's on your mind tonight, Randy?
Well, I will say, first I want to start out by saying the worst thing that happened last night was Curtis Axel not getting in the ring and not having an NXT participant in the match. I thought that was terrible. I didn't have tickets to tonight's event, and I can't go on Thursday. But the minute after the Rumble ended last night, I called up a friend who I wanted to go, and we were thinking about either, because of the storm, I had some friends that were thinking about giving away tickets. We were thinking about going, and I called my friend up and said, no, I'm not doing this. I can't support this right now. And I cooled off a little bit and obviously watched Raw tonight, and, I have a lot of opinions that are sort of stored up, and, I feel like I'm kind of buying into Roman Reigns and Lesnar a little more because of that segment, but I still feel for Bryan. I know Vince has such a hard-on for Sheamus, Bryan, and Mania again. I don't want to see it. Give him a formidable opponent, Turn Ambrose heel and give him Ambrose or something like that. I don't know.
Let's see what Sheamus is like when he gets back. I mean, I know we saw that weird backstage interview that never should have happened from Raw that they put up on YouTube for God knows what reason. But Sheamus, I think he's long overdue for a heel turn. The guy enjoys a good physical match. It may not be something that grabs you on paper going into Mania. I think most people are going to look at it as no matter who he works damn near, a letdown for Daniel Bryan. Once the bell rings, I mean, this is a match that people were livid that wasn't on one WrestleMania because it got bumped, and then the other one was the very short one with the AJ Kiss and all that. So at some point, it doesn't have to be at Mania. But I want to see those guys really just go out there and be able to have a full match because I think, go back and watch Sheamus and Cesaro for an example of how physical Sheamus will be. I think it could be a very good match.
Well, we saw that at I was about to say Backlash, Extreme Rules, I guess it was, the 2 out of 3 falls, which was an outstanding match. And I guess I wouldn't mind seeing it again, but one of the quotes I read from one of the other websites today on that I guess came from Vince or another executive said why they didn't pick Bryan, amongst other reasons why they picked Reigns, was because they thought it would be going to the well one too many times. And that feels so hypocritical when saying, okay, well, we're going to put for the third time, we're going to give Bryan and Sheamus a WrestleMania match. I feel like it's lying. And, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a New York Jets fan, and I can't stand the team. I'm embarrassed by them. And all they do is just lie to their fans. And that's why, you know, I stick with my other teams a lot more because I feel more loyalty to them. And I mean, for a long time now, probably the last 5 years, I felt like the WWE has been lying to me a real lot. They're lying to everybody a real lot. And I don't know how much longer I can stand it. I have that glimmer of hope that's still left, I suppose.
Well, about the whole double standard thing. To me, it's not a double standard to look at the main event of WrestleMania and feel like, okay, we're going back to the well one too many times, but go with an undercard match that you've done before. I mean, there's a big difference between undercard, even middle of the card, than there is a WrestleMania main event. Where it's hypocritical, however, is that, well, we've seen other rematches. We've certainly seen WrestleMania close with many a John Cena celebration or a Hulk Hogan celebration. And, I mean, it's just... So that doesn't fly for me either. That's not a good excuse for them. I don't think people would have been disappointed if WrestleMania looked like it may be a repeat. Daniel Bryan might win because the match would have been so damn entertaining and so many people wanted to see it. It would have been a celebration for people. Even if Daniel Bryan went in and lost to Brock Lesnar because Daniel Bryan is sticking around, all right, maybe deflate some people a little bit, but I think it still plays into, wow, Brock Lesnar is a badass. He's the champion. So, I mean, if that is really their line of thinking, I think they're making it up as they go along, and they're just looking for any excuse they can to justify going with the match that Vince McMahon wanted to, which is Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, in my fantasy booking, I really thought that it should have been to get Roman Reigns over, and it might have been you that, or somebody else from the website that turned me on to this, but Roman Reigns should have been the guy to take down Rusev. And, you know, maybe you give Roman Reigns the U.S. title and maybe he becomes a dominant U.S. champion, which, honestly, we've completely forgotten about that belt. Who's surprised by that? But
well, so did they tonight when they were hyping John Cena and Roman Reigns, or Ed Rusev.
That belt is, again, it's a belt. It's keeping your pants up, like Vince always hates to say. But, you know, I thought that in my fantasy booking that Daniel Bryan would you continue on this Yes Movement storyline where he gets his moment and then, bam, Seth Rollins cashes in, you know, circa SummerSlam with Randy Orton, and you have that storyline again, and then you have Daniel Bryan chasing again. I think the fans would have rallied behind him again, you know, but maybe, again, that's taking the storyline and overdoing it too many times, but I would like to see Seth Rollins walk out. He's been the best performer that they've had, and he made that triple threat the best match.
And you know what? There it is again. Yeah. There's the other option. You know, going back to the double standard. Okay, well, don't go with the Daniel Bryan celebration. My God, Seth Rollins just cashed in on him, and you don't have to go with it. Real quick here, because I do have to get to other callers. Have you changed your tune? Are you going to go to the live SmackDown now?
I can't. No, I have to work. I work at a big name sports company in Connecticut, so and I work on NFL coverage, so it's kind of a big deal right now. But no, I can't go. I wish I could. All friends that probably attend, and you know, I did go to the last one in Hartford, and it was probably the greatest wrestling event I've ever been to because of Jericho. Surprised everybody. It was amazing, and I wish I could have gone to this one tonight to. Show my displeasure, but, you know, it happens, and maybe another time.
Blame Mother Nature or the governor, depending on your perspective as far as whether or not the roads are bad enough out there. But thank you very much for calling, Randy. It's good to hear from someone in Hartford. And 2 feet, he's saying. I don't know if they have that much. He said he may be exaggerating, but if that's the case, yeah, that's a lot of snow. And there's and really, in a weird way, I think this approach worked to WWE's advantage. It allowed them to kind of sit back and kind of, I don't know that we ever would have had the Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar segment that we did. And just one more comment on that before I get back to the phone lines. Well, I really like the fact that Reigns is kind of working that he's not Superman going into this. He's standing his ground, but you have the arrogant Brock Lesnar, who's been just established now, reestablished as just this dominant beast. And he's just kind of smirking at Roman Reigns. And Paul Heyman is talking down to him about, basically implying you can't beat this guy. How are you going to handle it when you have to go back to your family and face the embarrassment that you couldn't beat this guy? I mean, that's classic Paul Heyman. That's logical. And I just like that now Roman Reigns doesn't feel like if you're just paying attention to the storyline, it's not he's Superman, he's going in and he's going to beat Brock Lesnar. Heyman's planting all these different seeds with you. Brock is so confident, and it works. It almost, in a way, if for those who just want to get caught up in the storyline, it really portrays Roman Reigns as an underdog, even though he's confident going into this. So I can't say enough good things about that, certain elements of that final segment. A little bit of confusion here. We've got a couple of 917s on hold. The first one that I'm going to go to right now, the next three numbers are 328. So 917-328, you are up. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Barry. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Was it Barry?
Yes, sir, Barry.
Barry from Brooklyn, New York. What's going on tonight?
I'm all right, man. I just have a few questions for you. I look at Roman Reigns, and he reminds me of a Bill Goldberg, a guy who was exciting. But once he got the belt, he couldn't really wrestle, and all his weaknesses were exposed. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, Reigns. I mean, I think Reigns' weaknesses have already been exposed. I think the moment that word got out that he is Vince's chosen one, I think everyone started dissecting him. At the time, it was, hey, this guy's cool. He was a guy that always had the cool line for the end, at the end of the Shield. He's a guy that would take the hot tags and come in and hit his, albeit limited, offense. And then when all of a sudden that word got out, like, this is Vince's hand, his chosen one, oh, suddenly that same offense, well, it's pretty limited. And, can he say more than he does? And it's a fair response for people to have. But I think because of this, yeah, I think it's his limitations have already been exposed. He needs to improve. He needs to step up, not just on the mic, not just in front of the camera. He needs, as far as what he's saying and his delivery and things of that nature, he needs to step it up in the ring and become a more well-rounded wrestler. And I don't know that is going to be – he's capable of pulling this off in the next couple of months. I mean, that's all he has now is like 2 months to do this, and he can improve. But I think right now they need to hope – he gets it together in the ring, and they need to hope that Paul Heyman or someone else can produce him well enough to pull this off at WrestleMania.
All right, last question. Do you think it's smart for them to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, that he's related to the Usos, The Rock, all these great in-ring performers? Would that put more pressure for him at WrestleMania?
No, I was okay with that, and thank you for your call. I felt like he... Yeah, they're using it, and if you're going into this and you're mad at Roman Reigns and you don't want to see this guy, you're going to look at it and go, oh, good Lord, really? They're going to play the family card now? But I liked his explanation. He wanted to kind of blaze his own trail or carve his own path, whatever it was he said. And so he didn't play that card. It's like, well, why is it coming up now? I think is a fair response from people. But I think there's part of the audience out there going, hey, that's kind of admirable. This guy didn't bring up The Rock. And I'm sure there's some storyline things that people are going, well, why did he do this to this person if they're related? But no, I didn't find it to be – I don't sit there and think that people are going – oh, well, he's related to the Usos, so he should be better in the ring than he is. Maybe it's, well, he's related to Rock. Well, boy, he's got a long way to go in the charisma department, that kind of thing. But most of the family, I mean, it's like, hey, very talented family, very legendary family in the wrestling industry. But I think Reigns headlining WrestleMania puts him above many of them in terms of how high they got on the card. I mean, there was a lot of tag teams in there. It's basically Rock and Yokozuna. Maybe I'm forgetting someone else from the the Samoan family tree that's been able to headline WrestleMania, as it appears he will. Let's keep going through the calls. Up next, 917, you're on deck, the other 917. Let's go to 647. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hello. Good night. How are you?
I am so far so good. What's up? What's up?
Oh, great. I think this kind of speaks to a bigger problem within.
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but who are you? Where are you calling from?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my name is Roberto, and I'm from Canada.
Cool. What's up?
Yeah, no, I think this speaks to a bigger problem. I think, you know, the whole conceptualization of what Vince McMahon sees as a actual superhero or babyface, quote-unquote, I think society has changed overall in terms of what a hero is. And I think when Vince looks at a guy like a Roman Reigns, for example, you know, he's 6'5", 270, and I think when Vince looks at that, he sees, this is my next Lex Luger, this is my next Hulk Hogan. And when he looks at a guy like a Daniel Bryan, you know, he's about 5'9", you know, almost 200 pounds, and Vince just can't, you know, see that for whatever it's worth. And I guess when the reaction, I just think Vince can't conceptualize it. I think he's almost embarrassed by it because he doesn't look like that quote-unquote person that he could probably present to, like a Conan O'Brien or the mainstream. But I also think, though, too, for a television show like World Wrestling Entertainment, that they strive so hard to be this sort of television program, and it doesn't really reflect what society is now. I mean, you look at a Breaking Bad or a Sons of Anarchy, they have a different type, you know, the way how the hero in those realms are so vastly different. And I think, you know, for a company that are trying so hard to appeal to that, you know, the entertainment realm of it, they're failing quite significantly. Now, in terms of Roman Reigns, I think the people are kind of being a little bit too hard on him in general. I don't think, you know, I think for what he is what he is. But I really feel that, you know, a guy like Roman Reigns could have really benefited from having a more significant, you know, I wish the secondary titles were used a lot more significantly. Like, you know, I could see a guy like Roman Reigns of having that Lex Luger style 1989 NWA run with the U.S. title for a year before he actually entered the heavyweight, his quest for the world title. I think something like that would have been really beneficial. I think, you know, having Roman Reigns doing Superman punches in like 2-minute matches for like half a year or a year would have gotten him to the point where people are like, they're really ready for this guy. Yeah, be it he's lean, might be limited. Yeah, but if you look at a Bill.
Oh, no problem, no problem. The Goldberg comparison, yeah, I mean, getting a title run, yeah, I do feel like people think this is just too much too soon for Roman Reigns, and I think they see the signs that it's too much too soon for Reigns. I want to back up to what you said about him appealing to, you know, in Vince's mind, the whole face of the company thing. Vince McMahon is always going to favor a guy who looks like Roman Reigns over Daniel Bryan. I mean, it's just, it is the way it is, but I think it's very short-sighted of him. If it's like a perfect comparison and like, okay, these guys are equally over and that's a deciding factor, it's just, it could go either way, I can live with it, but they're not. You know, Daniel Bryan is over, and I still think that some of these, the talk shows and things like that, I think that becomes a story, is this guy doesn't look like your average wrestler. And I've seen Daniel Bryan, some of his appearances on, whether it's local news or just different things like that, he handles himself very well. He has a very likable personality, but Vince wants larger than life all the time, and it's just, that's what Vince McMahon strives for. But he, you know, if he's going to continue to, you know, stay in his position, he better get used to booking guys who look more like Daniel Bryan than Roman Reigns, because I'm looking at developmental, and I see a lot of smaller guys down there than Vince McMahon is used to. I mean, NXT is not filled with a bunch of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns types, and it doesn't mean somebody can't come along, but NXT is filled with a bunch of talented, smaller, really, really good workers, and when the time comes for them to shift, man, I think it's going to be exciting. I think they have the right talent crew there just to go with the really sports-like, just straightforward wrestling product, and I think people would love it if Vince McMahon would just present it to him, but I don't know that it's going to happen. And, you know, maybe it'll take something like last night, making him reassess, making him just kind of change his tune on things. Did you have more for me tonight, Roberto?
Well, I don't think Vince is going to change his tone, though. I really, you know, here's a guy for 30, 40 years who has promoted bigger is better. And, you know, and I really feel like, you know, I was just, you know, when I was watching the Rumble last, I couldn't help but remembering, like, the 92 Rumble when Hogan started getting booed. And you know, they kept, you know, even though after the fact they kept putting, I mean, there was other issues going on at the time, like the steroid issue or whatever it was, but I still think Vince McMahon, I don't know how dialed in he is into, like, even NXT in general. I know you mentioned it, but I don't know if Vince McMahon's looking at NXT and saying, yeah, Kevin Steen's my next guy, or Prince Devitt's my next guy.
I don't think he is either. You know, I was talking with I believe this was Chris DeJoseph who was talking about this on the air. I talked to a couple of former writers last week, but I don't want to put words in Chris's mouth, but he joined me for an interview, so it was either him or somebody that I won't say the name just in case, but the idea that I'm almost positive it was Chris, who said that when he was there, Vince McMahon would look at they basically put a tape together for Vince to look at, or a DVD of, like, four guys, kind of a highlight package type thing. And so, no, at the time anyway, it wasn't like Vince was sitting down and watching the weekly television show or anything like that. And that is really disappointing. I mean, I wish he could find an hour of his day, or, you know, 45 minutes to speed through that show and keep an eye on talent, but I guess that's the job he's assigned to Triple H. But, you know, I mean, I guess that's the thing you look forward to, is Triple H having more power, and hopefully, you know, he does seem to, Roman Reigns is one of his guys, you know, the developmental guys that he's taken to, at least very publicly, he makes it seem like these are his guys, and he has a soft spot for them. Hopefully he can get through to Vince McMahon in some cases, and I'm with you. I don't know that Vince is just, you know, at 69 years of age, that he's suddenly just going to have this epiphany and go, smaller's where it's at. You know, we need to go in that direction. I don't know that it's going to happen either, Roberto. But Roberto, I do appreciate the call. We've got a lot of people on hold tonight, so I've got to end it there. Let's go to that. This person's been waiting 55 minutes. The other 917. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Yes, hello?
Hey, 917, what's up? Who's this?
Yes, hello?
I heard you for a second. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Who is this? Where are you calling from?
My name is Henry. I'm calling from New York.
Henry, how are you tonight?
Yes, I'm calling. I am thinking that Rollins is still Triple H's guy, and Reigns is Vince's guy, and I think they're butting heads in at the studios up there in Stanford, and they don't know where they're going with it.
I don't think Triple H dislikes Roman Reigns. I don't know. I mean, you may be right. I haven't heard that there's any, you know, headbutting going on between Rollins and Reigns as far as the two major power brokers are concerned. But
no, I think the headbutting is between Vince and Triple H.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I don't know that there's – those are the power brokers I'm referring to. I mean, those are the power guys in WWE. It's nothing I've heard before, but I think Triple H definitely likes both guys. I mean, you can just tell. I mean, these are some of his early call-ups from NXT, and he likes to take credit for, you know, the success of the Shield in some way. I mean, he doesn't flaunt it all the time, but I think he does take pride in it. So, you know, he may feel like Rollins is the better option, and ultimately, hey, he may win out. I mean, who's to say that WrestleMania or the night after, Rollins doesn't cash in successfully?
And this, I think, will all change if Brock decides to stay.
You think, I'm sorry, I heard that if Brock decides to stay, what?
I think everything changes if Brock decides to stay. Because I think he'll keep the title.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I really am. It doesn't have to be a huge title change at WrestleMania every year. I think Brock is doing a hell of a job. They fed Undertaker's streak to him last year. If Brock Lesnar is staying, I would hope they can get him around for even two more pay-per-views a year. If he can work, you know, five or six pay-per-views a year, that would be phenomenal. That's the tricky part, though. With that schedule, it's in a perfect world, the guy would work more than he does. I don't blame him at all for working, you know, getting as much money as he can for working as little as he can. That's the goal of many, many wrestlers over the years, and he's been able to accomplish that. But it also makes it difficult with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But if you have him at a good number of dates, yeah, keep that title on him. I think Brock is doing a hell of a job, and it's just, you know, maybe I'll feel differently by the time WrestleMania gets here, but right now I don't feel like Brock needs to drop that title if he's staying. But that really is the million-dollar question, and I hope he keeps that quiet. I really do.
I was just reading an article on Inquisitor saying that based on last night's backlash that they're going to have a Wyatt Daniel fight at Fastlane, and the winner gets into the main event.
We'll see what happens. Nothing I've heard. I can't say that I frequent the site. I don't know the author, so I'm not putting anyone down. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing I've heard. So who knows? Maybe they know something the rest of us don't, but it's just nothing I've seen from anyone reputable thus far.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Hey, thank you very much for calling. It was nice to chat with you tonight. Up next, and by the way, we have 25 minutes left in the show, and we still have a lot of people on hold, but you can, you can try to get through. My God, you people are fired up coming out of the Royal Rumble and tonight's Raw. 773-897-6321 is the number to call. Up next is, Gab Z something or other. It doesn't show up as a number, so hopefully you know who you are. You are on
yes,
the line now.
Hello.
Who is this, and where are you calling from? Yeah, hi,
hello.
Who's this?
My name is Gabriel. I'm from the Dominican Republic. I'm a huge fan of your webpage, and I keep following all of the days you do your Raw review and all your shows. Keep the good work. I was watching the last night the Royal Rumble with a couple of friends, and they were like everybody. They were pissed off of the, or mad, not pissed off, but mad at the way the match, the Royal Rumble match, was booked. Because sometimes the match was like slow pace, boring, and didn't have any meanings with the eliminations. So I was wondering what they should do. They should, with Roman Reigns in this case, because he's taking all the fault because of the booking of the match. Because if they kept Daniel Bryan till the end, in my opinion, they could get a better reaction or something like that, because people felt like they were like bad treating because of the elimination with Daniel Bryan. I don't know what's your opinion on that matter. And do you see any silver lining with this kind of build up to their main eventing, WrestleMania, Reigns and Brock Lesnar?
Well, I appreciate the call. Very interesting comments on the Royal Rumble, and I'm happy you went there, because that was something I touched on in today's WWE Raw hit list, and maybe it was more so in last night's audio, but just the lack of creativity in the Rumble match. Some years it's great. You know, I mean, I can always point to classic examples of when they actually tried to do a little something other than just have a glorified Battle Royal. And last night, many times, it felt like a glorified Battle Royal. What I mean by that, go back to when Roman Reigns last year eliminates a bunch of people. He doesn't win, but he's a talking point coming out of the Rumble. Maven eliminating The Undertaker is a classic example. I mean, there's just different things you can do in the Rumble to build someone up. They may not win the Rumble, but there's stories you can tell. You know, there's just different, there's some years where they're very creative with it and it's laid out in a beautiful way. And then there's years like last night. I thought the Daniel Bryan elimination was completely unimaginative. I thought Big Show and Kane bringing a couple of guys, Dolph Ziggler was one, and I can't even remember who the other, it was Bray Wyatt. I mean, the guy's in there for how long? That should be a talking point. And instead, it's just, I think part of it was just the frustration over Daniel Bryan's elimination and Reigns ultimately winning, but it was also that half-assed elimination. They rough him up a little and drag him over and just dump him out. It just really, really bad. So, yeah, but as far as silver linings, we touched on some of it with basically just the what they did tonight to kind of try to the way they positioned Reigns tonight, the way Brock Lesnar was just the, especially coming off the victory that he had in the triple threat match and as great of a match as that was, I mean, Brock is just ultra confident, ultra cocky, and Reigns is the guy that, you know, I guess one little thing I would have changed tonight about Reigns, I didn't like the John Cena playbook. I didn't like the, hey, you pay for your ticket, you can cheer for you. Come up with something new, WWE. Don't give us John Cena light material. I don't want that. How about Roman Reigns says, yeah, it bothered me. I'm not going to, you know, I can't tell people who to cheer for, but I'm not going to pretend that it didn't bother me. Yeah, I'd love to have everyone on my side, but I'm going to work my ass off between now and WrestleMania to, you know, my focus is on winning the match, but I also, I think it can only help if I have as many people on my side as possible. I can't make them, but I'm going to do everything I can by working really hard, and hopefully some people will get on board. Anything, you know, just something, it doesn't have to be that, but just something other than the usual John Cena line we've heard a million times when he gets booed. That part to me was disappointing about the promo. 352, you're up next. Who's this?
This is Steve from Florida. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Always good to hear from you. What's going on in sunny Florida tonight?
Quick question for you. Do you think that there's any chance that this family angle with The Rock is not only part A being, you know, trying to help Reigns get over, or maybe there's a bigger picture involved, maybe Rock turns on Reigns at WrestleMania somehow?
Boy, well, I mean, the caller, if I had to choose, I'd go with the one the caller mentioned earlier, which is, even though I think it's far-fetched to think they're going to sacrifice this year's Mania and Roman Reigns for next year's main event, but, hey, maybe by the time it gets here, it'll make more sense because they won't have any other choice. I don't like Rock turning heel on Roman Reigns. I don't know how realistic it is. I think Rock would have a lot of fun as a heel, but right now they need to focus on getting Reigns over. If Rock were to turn on Roman Reigns as is, the fans would cheer Rock loudly. He would be more over with a good, especially at the WrestleMania show. That audience would just go crazy. They'd love it. And that's not what you want if the guy's turning. So, does it set up Roman Reigns and The Rock for WrestleMania in Dallas, for instance? Sure. But right now, as things stand, I don't see that happening. I don't think that's in the card, Steve.
Okay. The other question I had concerns the Royal Rumble. Specifically, what possesses them thinking it's a good idea to have Big Show and Kane eliminate the Stars of the Future, i.e. Ambrose? Who thinks that's a good idea?
I guess whoever laid out the Rumble, I'm with you. I don't mind that they did it, but do it in an imaginative way, do it in a creative way that leads to something. It's just, they were the better guys, I guess. They had the 2-on-1 advantage, and it wasn't even like – it kind of like Daniel Bryan. It's not like Daniel Bryan can argue that he was wrong. The way he was eliminated, he just was eliminated, you know, and there was too much of that. I think by and large it should be that way during the Rumble. You don't want every guy to have something to bitch about when they're eliminated. But I think there's just different ways of doing it. There's different stories that can be told. There's ways to set up future feuds and storylines with the Rumble, and they didn't do any of that. So we're on the same page there. Was that it, though, Steve?
One other question, to close it out. I mean, people complaining about Roman Reigns in the WrestleMania main event, who's to say that that's even the main event? I mean, you have Sting and Triple H. You have John Cena still. So, are we looking ahead too much and possibly thinking that's the main event, and maybe it's not?
Fair question. I thought the only scenario I came up with, if Undertaker announces this is it, but if Undertaker is coming back this year, I still believe he's going to be back next year to work that stadium show in Dallas as well. Maybe I'm off, maybe next year's Hall of Fame, but that's my best guess is he's back for that. Sting and Triple H, I guess they could try to position it that way. I don't think that's the match you want to go on last with. I think the WWE Championship match should go on last based on what we know of the card right now. And the only one I could think of all the scenarios that we were discussing yesterday on the Sunday special we did was basically that if Rock and Brock were going to meet one another and it wasn't for the championship, that they would still find, you know, that would be the match they would build around, and the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, it would be, you know, positioned as a top match on the show, but we'd all know it wasn't really the main event. I think, I'm guessing right now the plan is to go with that, but we'll see. Triple H has a lot of stroke, and if he wants to be the main event, well, who's to say he won't get his way? We've got a little over about 16 minutes left to go, and right now we've got five callers lined up, so I'm going to try to get through all of you fairly quickly, so let's try to limit the questions to one or two quick ones. Up next, 304, who are you, where are you calling from?
Danny from West Virginia.
Hey, Danny from West Virginia, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted real quick to know if you heard any word on if Bully Ray is signed, or was that just a one-off?
My understanding is it was a one-off deal. I mean, it certainly looked to me like just with the Ascension storyline, if they wanted to bring in Devon, but it was odd if that's what they were thinking, to go ahead and do all the Dudley Boy spots, or, you know, the big ones that people know, with R-Truth, his black surrogate, which I thought was kind of embarrassing for WWE. I just, the way he was last night, I don't think it's like, I don't think they see him as Bully Ray. I don't think they see him as being a guy that they can bring in as a singles guy and make a lot of money. It doesn't mean they can't bring him in to be a veteran presence, but you know, people who know the story just were kind of surprised that they did business with him even for a night. He's made some enemies there. Time heals all wounds, and I think he's a guy who could contribute. He's very good on the mic, but I don't know what the future holds for him. I guess a lot of it may actually hinge on, oh, how did he conduct himself last night? They're not big on bringing people in, outsiders right now, so to speak, because they've got a lot of money invested in developmental. Could they make an exception for him? Sure. Will they? I'm guessing no. But I don't have any inside info on it beyond my belief that it was just a one-off. It was positioned as a one-off deal to start with.
All right, thanks, Jason.
All right, hey, thanks for calling. Nice and quick. Look at that. Up next, 214. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Jason from Dallas.
Jason from Dallas, another WrestleMania 32 host city guy. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just kind of wanting to know what your opinion was on this, because I've been trying to figure it out myself. With WWE pretty well knowing that this was it was a very good possibility that Reigns winning the Royal Rumble could receive a huge backlash. Do you think it's more likely that A, Vince McMahon is just that out of touch with what people want now, or B, that he just doesn't care and he just wants to do, you know, whatever he feels like is best?
I really think in this case, last year may have just been him being stubborn. I think this year was Vince being out of touch. You know, I don't think they expected the reaction to be, you know, they know Philly's a tough town. But, you know, it's not like Reigns gets booed on television every week and they still just stuck to their guns. You know, I mean, it's the crowds generally like him, you know, and so that's where I come to that. That's basis for my opinion on that one.
Okay. One last quick question for you.
Sure.
I might be reading too much into this, but the way that Big Show and Kane eliminated Ziggler, Wyatt, and Ambrose, who all have somewhat of, you know, like a, you might call it a little bit of a cult following. You know, they have a lot of hardcore fans that cheer them. It almost seemed like it was symbolic that they kind of like dumped them out of the ring like garbage. And I might be reading too much into that, but it just seemed very like, hey, this is what Vince thinks of guys that he didn't tell you to like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jason. But I didn't see it that way. I don't know that was the mentality. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly an interesting conspiracy theory, if nothing else. I kind of like it. It's sometimes it's fun to travel down the conspiracy theory boulevard. 515, you're up next. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. It's Neil in Des Moines.
Neil in Des Moines. What's going on, my neighbor to the south?
How you doing, friend? I was thinking, it just came to me that, you know, Reigns is really weak on the mic, and he's getting his heat now. And most likely Lesnar's going to the UFC. What do you think about Heyman joining up with him?
With who? I'm sorry. I caught everything other than with who does Heyman join up with?
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I would prefer, I don't know, maybe you get to a position where they do a double turn with Rollins and Reigns or something. But I just think Rollins is doing such a great job right now as a heel. I think that, he talked about it in his promo, and it just, if there were any questions going into last night, like if the casual viewer just kind of looked at him as this, snobby guy that cheats to win all the time, it's the only way he can do it. I mean, the performance he turned in, that had to be an eye-opener for people. I would love to see Seth Rollins stay heel. He doesn't need Heyman. He needs him more than CM Punk did, but that's kind of the point. CM Punk and Paul Heyman made a great combo, and I think those two together jumps out at me more. But I guess we'll just see how Roman Reigns gets over.
I guess my point was that Rollins doesn't need Heyman, you know.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. You know, and Reigns, you know, we've heard his mic skills, so I don't know. It was just something food for thought, I thought.
Yeah, fair enough. And they may have to look at that, take that approach. You know, I mean, if Brock's leaving, Heyman, you would think if he's sticking around, who knows what Heyman's deal is if Brock goes? But I would hope that he's sticking around. And if he does, you know, does Roman Reigns need him more? Does it make sense to go heel with Reigns? It's tough because I think they really want Reigns to be a babyface, and it's tough to, you know, I mean, not like going. Turning him heel is like he can never go back, but I think they'd like to avoid it if they can. So, yeah, I mean, I guess when it comes to mic work, certainly Reigns needs Heyman more, but I think WWE wants Reigns to be a babyface a lot more. By the way, again, I mentioned earlier a couple of times, we will not be on the air next week due to the Triple H and Triple H and Steve Austin interview that is going to be airing on WWE Network. I'll be covering that live at ProWrestling.net. However, you can still get your fix of call-in shows by joining us on Tuesday afternoon, PW Torch Livecast, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. Wade Keller and I take your phone calls every Tuesday, tomorrow included, and certainly next Tuesday. So join us there, pwtorchlivecast.com, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern on Tuesday afternoons. Back to the phone line. Up next is 262. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Mark from Wisconsin.
Mark from Wisconsin, what's up?
Hey, a couple things. So isn't beyond Reigns, Lesnar, you know, all of the issues with that, isn't a bigger problem the top matches in WrestleMania, you know, what they're kind of leaning towards, most of them aren't going to be very good. Like Reigns, Lesnar, Triple H, Sting, Cena, Rusev, Taker, Bray Wyatt, like none of those matches like should have like particularly high expectations. The matches that, you know, people are going to, matches that are probably going to be good are going to be, you know, the lower card match, I guess not lower card, but, you know, the lesser matches like Rollins and probably Orton, Bryan, Sheamus.
Well, you know, let's give some of these matches a chance. I mean, that's one thing I do worry about is with Lesnar and Reigns, match quality, kind of like I did with Taker and Lesnar last year. I don't know how they match up together, but we'll see. I don't know if it's going to be I'm not going into this going, this has a potential to be a WrestleMania classic. I just don't see it that way. But I think Sting and Triple H have the potential to surprise people. I think, you know, Sting, you can take the shortcuts with Sting, brawl all over, do that kind of thing. I think people, as long as he does the Stinger splash and he does his Scorpion leg lock and Scorpion drop, I think people are going to be into it because it's the first time it's happened at WrestleMania. The key for that one, don't overstay its welcome. You know, I'm not willing to just say it's going to be horrible. I don't know that it's going to steal the show, but who knows, with the atmosphere and Sting there, just the vibe it creates might help it go a long way. I think some of the undercard matches, there's some potential there. There's definitely some workers right now that don't have key WrestleMania spots. So be patient. We'll see what happens. Did you have one more for us?
Yeah. You know, people have, like, said, you know, Reigns winning the title and Rollins cashed in, you know, shortly thereafter. If Reigns wins the title, don't they have to give him, and he's going to be, you know, the next guy, don't they have to give him, you know, a fairly lengthy title run? You know, after WrestleMania 14, the next night, Stone Cold Steve Austin lost the title. Wouldn't it have completely kneecapped him? Like, don't they have to give Reigns a lengthy title run?
If he's ready. You know, if he's ready, maybe. But I still say, okay, he gets Seth Rollins cashes in, and damn that Seth Rollins. You know, there's a way. I mean, yeah, if he was just, like, on fire and it made total sense, I'd go, well, Dad, don't have Rollins cash in. But he's not. You know, let's see where he's at. If it may make complete sense at the time to go Seth Rollins cashing in because they just don't feel like Reigns is ready, but they want to keep him in that mix. 347, you're up. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York.
Hit me with it, Chris.
I have two.
We're running out of time.
I have a question about two questions about Daniel Bryan. The first one is, do you think Vince McMahon's sour on Daniel Bryan because he gave him the title last year and then physically he broke down, and from a money standpoint, he just doesn't want to risk it again? And the second question is about another world title. Does WWE realize that they put themselves in this position because if they had another world title, Vince McMahon can always go with one main event that he wants, and then he can have the other main event that would please the hardcore fans? And lastly, what is your Super Bowl prediction? Mine is Patriots over Seahawks.
All right. The last one quickly. I'm pulling for the Patriots despite Deflategate, so that means I should be picking the Seahawks because the team I want to win the Super Bowl very, very rarely actually does. So that's good news for Seahawks fans. The injury, does Daniel Bryan, does it play into it? I would hope not. You know, I mean, did it change some plans? Yes, but I didn't feel like WWE came out of WrestleMania raring to go with Daniel Bryan. I mean, we all had some dream matches we wanted to see. They gave us Kane. You know, and so how much did it really derail things for WWE? And then I've already, dang it, Chris, call in with the other one on the live cast tomorrow. I meant to jot that one down, and I get so distracted by the Super Bowl pick that I completely dropped the ball there. I apologize, Chris. And then let's see here. Who was up? I think I accidentally skipped somebody. 212, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Corey from New York.
Ah, Corey, there's the guy that I owe the email to. Corey from New York from the Workshoot Podcast at?
Workshoot at Podomatic.com. Thank you very much.
There we go. What's going on tonight?
So two quick little things. One, how big of an impact do you think, with as much as they love trending on Twitter, canceled WWE Network will mean to them in the long run? And two, this is just my opinion, but do you think they're leaving money on the table with not having a Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar one-on-one match? Because the two of them, at least in my opinion, have really good chemistry, and it seems like there's something there. And it feels like, unless they're going to go and do Fastlane, which I don't see, you're leaving money on the table by not having that matchup.
All right, cool, Corey. Thank you. Let's start with Rollins, Brock. I think you're leaving more money on the table by not having Daniel Bryan. I just think that, Brock turning babyface, if he's around long enough, that's cool. Rollins, if he were a babyface and I thought it made sense to, even if I thought it made sense to turn him, cool. But no, I think that the real money being left is Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. Hopefully we get it someday. Network hashtag, very interesting. Just because, they're obviously aware of it. I know the Time website did a piece on it, and there's a little bit of mainstream attention being given to it. I think it should be embarrassing for them, and it sounds like some people are actually following through on this. And yeah, I mean, when it's trending, at one point it was the number one trend in the world. They have to take notice of it. They have to know, wow, we really put ourselves in a tough position. So I do think it's a big deal. I think it's something that, it would have been interesting to see how Triple H handled tonight if it was Raw. I don't think this is one he could have come out and said, oh, boo-hoo, you didn't get your way. I would have loved, that's the one thing. As much as I appreciated tonight's show in a lot of ways, would have been very interesting to see how that was handled, how Triple H, if he would address it again or if he would just kind of hide from it and just not even go there. Let's see here. Who else is on the line? We're down to our final couple of minutes here. 818, who are you? Where are you calling from? 818.
Hey, this is Chris. This is Chris from Glendale, California.
Give me a quick one, Chris, from Glendale, California.
You know, I'm a .NET subscriber, and I won't cancel that subscription, but I am canceling my WWE Network. I'm a Daniel Bryan fan, and for me, I'm not so upset that he didn't win the Rumble, but that there's no story behind what's going on with Daniel. Where do they go from here?
I'm happy you mentioned that because I meant to tie that into the last call. I am very hopeful, Chris, and I'm so sorry to cut you off. It's just so late in the show, and we do have another caller that we want to get to. I'm hopeful that I'm kind of looking here. I don't see Rollins with the date at WrestleMania, and I don't see Daniel Bryan with the date at WrestleMania. So, hey, you're looking for a superb WrestleMania match? How about that one? Just throwing it out. No inside info on that one. And finally, he's been trying to get on the whole show, and I finally see it. John from the John Report has been trying to call in. He's been tweeting me like crazy. John, it's kind of hard to do two things at once. But you finally got on, man. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? I actually screwed up. I didn't push the button to go into queue, so you probably didn't see me. So I was writing into the whole show, so it's okay. I've been busy. One guy I wanted to talk about was Dolph Ziggler, because, I mean, he's kind of been lost in the shuffle big time. Because think about how he was put over at Survivor Series, and then is he even going to have a WrestleMania match? He's just going to be thrown into the Battle Royal. Like, that's the guy people are asking me about, and I'm trying to think, where's this slot going to be? So, what do you think his kind of in his future? Can they just stick him and Daniel Bryan in the match and say, here's 20 minutes to go? You know?
I don't think that's going to be it. I could be wrong. I don't think they're going to bring Money in the Bank back to Mania, especially with Rollins still holding on to the current one. So I don't know what they do. I just pray that it's not, hey, let's go with Dolph Ziggler and Bad News Barrett again for the Intercontinental Championship. I want to see some progression from Dolph. I want to see him rise above the Intercontinental title level. But, folks, we are down to the final seconds of this show. My God, I was kind of worried tonight with it being the in-studio approach. We have a lot of callers, but I'll be damned if you guys didn't keep me going the whole time. I planned on an hour again. I thought for sure this week it would. But thank you for listening. Thank you. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Take care.